Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 252. I'm Pandalicious.
No, I'm Pandalicious.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Xenocore, once again.
Guest host! Xeno's back in the building. Kind of, sort of, on the internet side, which we're always happy to have. Xeno,
I have returned.
You have finished your quest. It was long and arduous.
But he's got so many more.
I only got 3 copper for it.
Wow, dude, that's really?
You got shafted.
Wow.
We only got a few left. You got to, you know, if you want that 100% completion, you got to do all the crappy ones too.
Yeah, but still, dude, that was a long quest.
I'll give you 5 sovereigns there.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. It's all awesome possum like coolness, and I'm, you know, might be a little recovering from inebriation. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it is or it's not, but
did you drink last night?
You lush.
I went to bed.
It's a possibility. So anyway, we've got a great show. And of course, you know, I'm over 21, so I get to do that stuff.
Right. We don't condone anyone's drinking.
Exactly, but it was really delicious. So we have a little bit more of E3 stuff. Xeno's joining us. He's got some great stuff to lend on the Green Lantern front, which if you listen to this podcast, you know, I love the Lantern Corps, so I'm really looking, you know, forward to that. We got some news and then some smatterings of things that I'm sure will drive.
Smatterings?
Yes, you know, like smatterings. It's like scatterings, but they're like, you know, all over the place.
Scatterings of matterings? Like,
yes, you know, of things that matter. So they're smatterings. Don't judge me! I make up my own vocabulary!
So be it.
All right, so we have smatterings of stuff, okay? All right? Is everybody in agreement? Are we good with this? Can we move on?
Yes.
All right, fantastic. So, Panda, you've got some things. I'm going to let you lead off the show because I'm going to, you know, recover.
Yeah, go ahead and recover.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's good stuff. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter. If you don't, you're lame. You should, because I'm funny when I remember to actually tweet. But the Rock Band kit is complete. The drums are put together. The guitars are put together.
I know. How long did it take?
I know. It took a while because I had to get room together, but the whole kit and caboodle, keyboard, everything is together. So if you're still playing Rock Band, which I think, you know, Rock Band 3 is pretty awesome and you should play it, you know the tag, find me. I'm looking for a band. I'm just saying. All right, go ahead.
All right. Yeah,
I'm
done now?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm all set.
Great, wonderful.
It's awesome.
So
I'm just going to go over in the corner now.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my shades on, but I'm totally listening to everything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm totally.
Meanwhile, in the back of her head, it's going, sleep.
I've done that before. I fall asleep
I can actually pull out and cite by number the episodes where you can tell that.
Yeah, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was totally cool. Yeah, I agree.
It works. Anyway, so, or it did. It
I
did
am.
Work.
I'm totally listening.
Never mind the pork demonstration that's going on in the background.
We raise pigs. That's how you get the best bacon.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Dude, I'm totally listening.
But anyway, so we are obviously back from the whole E3 experience, and I had spent a lot of time over with Nintendo, and I know the first E3 wrap-up show that we did, I talked about my Wii U experiences, but I didn't go into anything else that was going on. Yeah.
See, I told you I'm awake. I'm listening. Great.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's the sound of me crying after their E3 presentation.
You really didn't like the Nintendo presser?
Oh, it's more the same with what they're going in their own direction, trying to do their own thing, and they're losing sight of what made them great, and that's sad.
And whoa.
Exactly.
Expand on that, please.
The games themselves is what made Nintendo stand out.
Right.
And they're going more towards the hardware slant for focus to pull towards their products than the software. And that was evident when they, like, GameCube was the last time they were really trying to do anything standing out with software. Once they got with the Wii, they were pushing hardware so much, all the support for all the other games dropped off. No, Nintendo really doesn't care about third party. And it's not by what they say, it's what they do. Look at their smattering of games for the Wii. And I don't anticipate things changing for the Wii U either.
Well, I think that the hardware pieces, at least for Nintendo right now, the hardware pieces, we've got to catch up to Xbox and 360, because they're taking the thing that we brought to the market, which was motion, and pushing it in a way that we're not pushing it. And so I think this is kind of their, a little bit of playing catch up with the new Wii U controller. But I think on the software side, I was much more impressed with the software stuff that they talked about this year, but at the same time, the only negative thing that I had to say about it was that the majority of it was stuff that they had mentioned last year. We knew about the Kid Icarus game because they announced it last year. It was just really nice to actually see some gameplay pieces of it in the presentation, and I was already like, yep, ding, check, sign, I'm on it. Mm-hmm. And I thought the augmented reality piece addition made sense, just as far as it's already a technology that they're, you know, embedded in their 3DS, so it kind of makes sense for me to have them bring that in as opposed to 3D on the hardware side, which I really wish that, you know, Sony would actually stay the hell away from, but they're invested in because they've got TVs that have the technology in there. So, of course, they want to push it because they want to sell both the software and the hardware to actually take advantage of the software. So I think for everyone, hardware is always going to be a piece of it, because they've got to be a hardware company, because that's where the biggest chunk of your change is going to be made. You know, it's the vehicle for delivery. So unless you've got a vehicle that everyone wants, it doesn't matter if you have the software. You know, so I kind of disagree with you a little bit on that, other than I think some of the software that I really expected Nintendo to at least hint at, they didn't in their presser. And that was a little disappointing. But I have to say, like, out of all the pressers, Nintendo's was the one that was most impressive at E3 this year. I almost fell asleep during Sony's.
Yeah, well, you were the only one who went.
Are we going to really beat that one?
Yeah.
Are we going to beat that horse with its glue?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though you're the only one who went to Microsoft?
Yep.
And who got you that?
You did.
Oh, okay. But we're really going to beat the Sony thing with a horse?
Yep.
Okay, all right. Go back to my corner now.
Anyway, so
you suck at life.
Actually, the game of life, I really suck at it. I never have any kids. I never graduate college.
I know, you keep spinning the dial and you just
like
moving back.
One, what the hell? Like, cheated on my final exam. Why would I do that? But no. But so I mean, I did talk about my Wii U experience, but I didn't go into any of the, you know, the DS or 3DS announcements that they had made. And this was solely because for the longest time I was so anti-3DS, it wasn't funny.
We were all in this household in the anti-3DS.
I was like, no, I'm like, I won't need that because, ooh, so it gives me the ability to flick a switch and have a game show me 3D. Ooh, whoop-de-doo.
Well, and you have vision issues with 3D anyway.
Yeah, most of the time it makes me sick and I want to vomit. I can't go to IMAX theaters and see things in 3D because they make me sick. And then I take the glasses off, then I'm watching the movie in green, yellow, and blue. And I'm like, yeah, this doesn't work for me either. So I was already naturally opposed. But, you know, on the floor all these 3 days, everybody who was anybody had a 3DS.
Hello, you were at the gaming Mecca.
I know. So I was like, whoa, like, I had my DS with me, but I was so embarrassed to take it out. Because I'm like, I am so 3 years ago right now.
You had 3DS envy?
I did. And even worse when I was over in the Nintendo area, because, you know, all the corporate Nintendo guys all had their QR codes that had their Miis on them. And obviously, if you know anything about your 3DS, you can go and pull that QR code and pull their Miis and put them in your plazas, which is what everyone was doing. Everyone was
trying. They were socializing by scanning your codes. Hey, baby, you want to get me in your plaza? Scan me.
Yeah. They pull those things. Like, and so many cute guys. And, like, even some really cool corporate dudes were like, hey, do you have a 3DS? And I'm just like, no. Like, I have a DS.
Aww, I have a DS. You succumbed to peer pressure.
I did. And I had Hamster Man with me. And he's like, I've got mine. And it was completely...
wait, That's your Hamster Man impersonation?
Yeah. Yeah. I have my 3DS. And every time I got, and he was with me the whole time. So anytime someone would ask me, I'd have to be like, no, but he does. And of course, he's snaking all my bank. He's all like, ching, ching, ching. And he's just, and I'm like, I need to get one of these. You know, and everyone, you know, in queue lines for the presses and whatnot, because of that whole street pass thing, which at first I was like, that is totally snoozer. Ooh, yay, I walked by someone who happened to have their 3DS with them, and they can come see me in my kingdom. Yippity-doo-dah. Not really exciting. But when you're stuck in a queue line for like 45 minutes, and you have like 10 people, because I don't know if either of you guys know how the street pass works.
Outside of
the fact that, yes, you walk by someone who's got theirs open, they will both kind of talk to each other. Oh, hey, there's another one nearby. And the me that you create on your 3DS will show up to this person. Like, if, say, you had one ninja and I walked by you and you had yours in your hand, it would show you a little flash, there's a little screen on the front of it, and it flashes green when you've walked by somebody. And you can talk to them in your plaza. And they come like, oh, I've come to visit you, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, my name is this, and you can program what your me will say when it encounters other me.
So kind of like your motto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it will do that, and, you know, you can respond, yours will respond, and then it will tell you what your last activity was on your 3DS. So people were making this really cool gambling guessing game as to what kind of games based on what type of hat, because depending on how many people you've visited, you get, like, rank ups in your hat.
Okay.
Yeah, like, your hats are all different based on what you do.
Right.
And so they were trying to base on what people's hats were, what their last game was played on their 3DS, which is really interesting. And I've come to notice that most people who wear Bowser hats mm-hmm. play Nintendogs.
Wait. Bowser yeah. hats play Nintendogs?
Like, the last... there were three, because at one point I went to the Microsoft presser with Kropotkin over at Super Every Funtime Show.
Right.
And
Shifts!
We were in line together, and he had, like, 10 people, so, like, this ate up a lot of time. And we were guessing, and there were, like, three me's in his line that had Bowser heads, and I'm like, Bowser? I'm like, I would think the last thing this person would play would be, oh, I don't know.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. So, and they all Nintendogs. And I'm like... Look, why?
Bitches love Nintendogs.
For real. You know, and then the one chick that was in this line, I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, she
played Imagine Babies.
No, she's
Barbie Horse Adventure
in 3D. So it completely threw me off. I'm like, whoa, that's actually really funny. And I wanted to be a part of that community. Like, I want to be randomly walking around somewhere and, like, open up a screen and be like, all these memes be like, we're here to see you. Like, it makes me feel...
Feel like you're the center of the universe. That's basically why you bought a 3DS, so you could be the center of the virtual universe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I buy that, actually, for you. So.
Yeah, for me. Yep. But I didn't want to go and get it right away, so I decided I'd save up a little bit and go, okay, for my birthday, which is pending next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Birthday pendage!
I will be turning the glorious 27.
You got the meeting invite. Make sure that you accepted.
What?
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 Anyway.
Huh?
Bueller? So I decided that I'd buy myself my birthday present early. So I got myself the teal 3DS.
And I also because it only comes in black and teal, right?
Right now, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if later on down the road...
Of course, it'll come in multiple colors. That's Nintendo's, you know, red.
Like a white one. A white one, maybe. Or a red one.
Mm. Chartreuse.
Or maybe even like a gold one.
Oh my god, could you imagine a gold one for Zelda?
Well, they totally
eggshell.
Release the controller. They're going to release the controller.
I know they're going to have a Wiimote that's gold. I want a golden 3DS so I can be like, it's made of gold.
It's not going to be made of real gold. But there were also some other games that they had released, they had mentioned at the presser that we all attended that also made me really strongly consider getting one. So we already know that I'm a big Resident Evil fan. And
no shit, Sherlock.
And I will preach it till the day I die during a zombie apocalypse, which is going to happen.
Oh my god, here we go again. We're not going into this conversation.
That is my statement. It will happen, and the people who are preparing, I will see you on the other side, brothers.
You know what? Just keep it moving along here.
So,
not getting into this tangent.
And so the first thing on the block is that the fact that in a week or so from now, there will be a release of a RE title for the 3DS Mercenaries, which at first I wasn't all that keen about getting on my 3DS because I have Res 5.
on my Xbox and my PS3 already.
Yes.
Which also already have Mercenaries bundled into it.
Right.
And you can buy, I think you can buy additional packs and additional maps and stuff for it already on both consoles.
Dig it.
So I really wasn't looking to, you know, buy it because I already have it on two of my consoles as is.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, where there aren't a lot of strong core titles that are being brought to the forefront right now for 3DS, the fact that they're bringing this will give me even a stronger anchor to invest in my 3DS. Because I still have my DSi. I was going to trade it in, but I decided not to do that.
Dude, you didn't trade the DSi?
Nope, I still have it.
Why?
A lot of people tend to keep their first one, and that was my first one. And I had to keep it.
Dude, I can understand if it was an original Game Boy, but it was a DSi.
I know, but it was my first one.
Dude, I'm totally trading in my DSi.
Okay.
You never forget your first time.
You don't.
Dude, I don't have my Intellivision, and that was my first system.
I'm surprised with all the other crap you have. You don't have that?
Eat a dick.
Come on. But no, so I didn't turn it in. I thought about it, but I was like, oh, I can't do that. So I kept it. But, I've decided that I'm going to go and get, you know, I'm hoping I'll get it from a friend of mine for my birthday, because I kind of told him that I want it.
Hint! Hint!
No,
hint!
I already told one person already, so I don't want, like, three copies of them to arrive here, because then I don't know what I'll do with them.
You can give it to me, and I can trade them in towards my DS.
But one of my friends already said that he would get it for me for my birthday.
Right.
So, I'm going to be getting that. But there's also another RE title that's coming out, Resident Evil Revelations.
How many Resident Evil games does a person really need?
A lot.
Why?
And then, of course, later on, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City is going to drop.
See, and this is just way too many zombies. I mean, seriously, did Mila Jovovich, like, take care of this already?
No. And I watched that.
She can't. She's skinny as a rail.
Oh, God. I don't even want to go into the movies, because I watched the movie on Friday, and I felt I was being raped, and those are 2 hours of my life that I will never get back.
Wow. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah. It was like mental sodomy. Which is horrible, because last time I checked, I didn't realize that I had a rectum in my brain, but apparently I do. And it was assaulted.
Do I get to call you shit for brains?
No.
No.
Damn. But regardless, Revelation going to be a 3DS title. They're still determining what the date of release is going to be. And I'm flipping a coin with this because I probably will get it, but I already know I am not going to like the protagonist
of the story.
Okay. Because it's Jill.
Oh.
And
I know how you feel about Jill.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, she rocked Resident Evil 3. She took out freaking, oh god, I can't remember what its scary ass name was. The stars fucking guy who, like,
Wesker?
Stalks you throughout that whole game.
Who?
In 3?
Wesker? I don't know.
No, not Wesker. It's like a mutant. Oh. I don't remember, but he was pretty much programmed to kill all the stars, okay. The Bravo stars.
Right.
So he's going after Jill. And, like, literally, you could be walking down the street in your miniskirt and your blue tube top, and he'd come out of nowhere, stars, and, like, beat the fuck out of you. And usually kill you. Or if you have lack of skill like me at the time, kill you. literally, in that game, I got stuck in a safe house, and I knew he was on the street outside of the safe house. So I was like, yep, and she stays there until she dies because there's no food in the safe house. The end. Until I went back several months later and beat it.
So you starved your Jill to death?
Yeah, but I'd rather
go outside and take it like a pro?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Until I went back, and then I opened it back up, and I took him out. But but in Revelations, you do play as Jill. They do introduce a new BSAA member. His name is Parker. I have no idea what he looks like. I think he's kind of Spanish-y or Italian-Spanish-y.
He's kind of Spanish-y?
Well, his last name is like Luciano, so I'm assuming he's
like Latino.
Like Latino-y. Spanish-y.
Latino.
Yeah.
Latino man.
What? Like, huh? Or Italiano. But they didn't really show him because they were just showing some of the gameplays with Jill. And pretty much it happens right between 4 and 5.
Okay.
Which, if you loved 5 the way I loved 5, when you're in 5, you're Chris looking for Jill. But in Revelations, you're Jill looking for Chris before Chris is looking for Jill. And you're kind of going, wait a minute. So what's probably going to happen in Revelations is I'm going to find out where Chris is. Chris is going to get a transmission from Jill. And then something's going to happen to Jill, which is what leads into 5. So I want to see how well they're going to piece that up together to see if it truly will link to
5.
To 5.
Correct.
you know, so
see, I'm following totally with you.
Yeah. And I think in this game, Chris is with Rebecca up in fucking Alaska, which I guess would make sense because Chris goes up to Alaska and Code Veronica X. But I thought he was looking for Jill. Then, too. No,
maybe he's like Ryoga and just gets completely lost and takes like a year to get there.
Well, actually, if I remember correctly, Claire was looking for Chris. Chris was in Alaska. Didn't know Rebecca was up there, but apparently she is. And they made her really sexy now, because last time I checked, Rebecca wasn't very hot. So she's, like, grown over time in this.
Why does that matter?
It doesn't. But it does. But it does. Whatever, we're going to change the sprites. But regardless, I want to see how well they're going to interweave these. Because, I mean, I was looking forward to Operation Raccoon City, because now we're going to be playing as the raccoon faction, who is going to be, that gets sent out to pretty much kill Leon Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
So their story happens between 3 and 4.
I'm so confused. So now we're going back and we're doing stuff from between 3 and 4.
They're filling in so many spaces
and four
right
and five.
Now. In Revelations, we're going from four to five.
And then in Raccoon City,
we're going three to four.
Okay.
But on the opposite side. So we're not a good guy in Operation Raccoon City.
We're
a team of four who've been sent into Raccoon City that's all fucked up with zombies.
Right.
To kill Leon Kennedy.
Okay. See, this is why I don't play this series, because I'm very confused now.
Yeah. Well,
I can't be going forward in the future and playing back in the past.
Well, that's what
I only have room for one type of game like that, and right now that slot's being occupied by Assassin's Creed.
Right. But see, you're so engrossed in that, so you don't feel bad that you're going back and filling in all your spaces.
Well,
so,
we're only now going back and filling in spaces with.
And now we're going back now. In,
surprise!
But now we're going. I know, isn't that funny? I have a Revelations game that I'm gonna play, and then
I have. We're both gonna play that one. We're both playing.
Yeah. All right. But regardless, like, I'm actually really glad to see that they're gonna go and fill in the holes.
So I gotta ask. So really, the killer software for you, like the killer determination. For you to flat out just go and hook yourself up with a 3DS, literally,
is a filler.
Okay.
Yep. It really did. I was like, oh, I have to go and get that. I'm like, I have to play that because I need to make sure that it's true to the story, like it's going to fit. And then obviously.
So they got you.
Yeah, they got me. That and also Kirby.
You better rent it first.
I've always been the kind buyer.
No, she'll buy it.
I will have buyer's remorse.
Oh, dude, she has, like, serious buyer's remorse, and she'll get pissed about it, and I'm like, well, then why didn't you rent it? Well, because I really wanted it.
It's like, I wanted it, and then I realized that after I played it, I really didn't want it.
Yeah.
But now I have it, and I can log that into my experience log that I've played it, I've invested, I know what's going on, and I can move
on with
my life.
Yeah, and then just use your rewards card and return the fucker.
Not even. These are all purchase decisions that I will stick to, even though half the time
Resident Evil side.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to it. Like, it's my story. I really do love it for all that it's worth, all the ups and downs and what the fuck is that? Like, no, like, literally, and I mean, this will be my last stint I'll talk about in terms of Resident Evil. So, in Operation Raccoon City, when you're this team and you're fighting all these zombies, you know, like I said, it happens between 3 and 4.
Right.
So, we haven't gone over to the other country.
Right.
We haven't seen the awesome graphics on the Wii. This is pre that.
Okay.
So I was expecting the graphics to come down a little bit because they wanted to go back towards the essence of the original Resident Evil universe. And they didn't do that.
No.
We've got the graphics of 5.
Yep.
Back in Raccoon City. And I'm like, you've kind of ruined that aspect for me. And there are fucking liquors in Raccoon City. Liquors don't get introduced until 5, for one, in Africa. So what the fuck are they doing in Raccoon City right now?
Licking things?
Have you ever seen a liquor?
I don't play this game!
All right, so think of a contortionist upside down with a really long tongue coming out of his mouth.
See, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's gross. But they shouldn't be there because geographically we don't see them until they're over in Africa.
Well, maybe this is their introduction and, you know, because again, see, this is the problem I have with playing with shit in the past. It's because you can introduce them and be like, oh yeah, no, this was actually their first introduction, but you got introduced them through 5, but actually they really existed here because that's how they affect this.
No, it can't happen. So the fact that I already saw one in fight, I was like, what the fuck is that doing there? For one, there should be hunters
there because hunters were in the original three lineup.
Why don't you just get on the horn?
And I'm gonna call up Capcom and be like, "What the fuck are you bitches doing to my game?
Do I have to come over there? Obviously, I have to come over there, don't I?
But regardless, yes, my whole premise for getting new hardware was a filler.
Okay. That's really
and I'm looking forward to it. Okay. I'm actually really looking forward to playing these games.
I just wanted to, you know, get to that nugget because that's what it was sounding like to me.
Yeah, that's it.
And I just wanted
the community aspect, but mostly of the filler.
Yeah,
and obviously all the other games that they're releasing for it, like they're bringing Star Fox back.
Oh, I know you're a huge Star
Fox. And I'm a big So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, yep, it's done.
In what form?
I played the hell out of Star Fox on my 64. Literally, I beat Mario 64, it's all I played.
Every spare minute of the day, it was Star Fox with this one.
It was Star Fox.
Right then and there, I should have known about your gaming addiction.
Because I have a gaming addiction.
You do.
I have an addictive personality in my gaming.
You do. And, you know, because I think you're the only person that I actually know in reality who actually did complete all of Mario 64.
I know one other person I met him at E3. I think his name was Todd.
Yeah, but you're the only person that I personally know that actually completed everything.
Yeah, I was I was 3 stars short.
Oh my god, and I bet I know exactly what those 3 stars are. Still.
Well, let's not get into that now.
I'm sure to this day I can still tell you where they are.
But yeah. I mean, Star Fox, don't get me wrong, I thought it was really nice to see that they were actually bringing it back because there are a lot of people that, you know, absolutely love the franchise. You know, same thing for me, like Kid Icarus and is it for me? Because I played Kid Icarus growing up like crazy till I broke that cartridge, dude. You know.
How? I couldn't do that even when I was a kid.
Oh, my God. I
admired it for the game that it was, but there's no way I could play through that game straight.
And oh, my God.
I mean, I like painful gaming, but that's.
I know. Like, it hurt, but it hurt so good. So I'm really excited for Icarus, which is the main reason why I will more than likely I've already packed it all up to trade in my DSi and a couple of games that I have that I've already.
I have 2 games that you can trade in with those.
Okay,
you're first. Ninja likes it rough.
Well, I do. Yeah, but I've always said that. I mean, I'm the glutton for punishment that will play Ninja Gaiden Sigma and we'll put it on the level above normal, knowing damn well I'm not going to beat anybody, but. I will sit there and I will struggle and I will try and I will act like I'm going to throw my controller across the room because I like a challenge. But I like a good challenge. I like a balanced challenge. I don't like the just out of nowhere, and now we're going to amp up the difficulty. Surprise!
Yeah, that's what Infamous did to me this morning. I was going through easy. It's like, because of your actions, we're bumping you to hard. I'm like, why would you do that?
I know.
I'm like, I was doing really well.
You're like, now you're going to hurt my soul.
And then I'm going to get died through drugs. Like, we're going to demote you back to easy because you can't do this.
Like, I told you, but regardless, you know, so for me, the things that are moving me to the 3DS versus just sticking it out with my DSi, so I definitely want to take advantage of some of the augmented reality stuff in Icarus because I find that stuff to be interesting. And I think that, you know, the stuff that they're going to be doing with EA is going to be very interesting. And I'm curious to see exactly what's going to happen with Irrational because they spent a lot of time in the presser really focusing on Irrational games and stuff that they could do. And I'm curious to see what the hell is going to happen with on the 3DS with something BioShock related. Like that, just the curiosity alone is the reason why I want to have it on hand. But that's really it. I won't play it any more than I play my DSi, which is pretty much when I travel. Because I'm on my consoles.
Right.
So, interesting enough, I mean, I like playing with yours.
Because I've only had it for like 3 days.
I know. It's definitely more bulky than the DSi. Mm-hmm. But it actually kind of feels a little bit lighter. So even though it feels like there's more mass to it, it does feel lighter.
And it does come with like its own charging bay, so you don't have to just hardwire it to a outlet.
Yeah.
There's a bay it can sit on so that it has flat. A dock. Mm-hmm. A dock. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. And obviously the cartridges look different from a DSi cartridge.
Really?
If you want to pop that out, there's a little.
Well, are you playing games?
No. It pops out, I'm not even on it, so go ahead.
Okay.
So there's a little ping on the side of it that makes it stick out.
Oh yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And obviously you can play your DS games, your regular DS games, in your 3DS.
Yep.
That just lets you know that, it has 3D capabilities, that little
that little half dongle of plastic.
The little protrusion.
But,
the little cartridge.
And they do give you augmented reality cards in your package, because there is a section where you can play with those. Mm-hmm. I just haven't jumped on those yet.
Dig it.
I do like the Mii Creator. So, you can take your picture and actually have your Mii look like you.
Final question. $250. Was it worth it?
Remember, I did $250 and a game, so it actually came to like $308 for me.
Dang!
Right. Yeah.
After
I bought it, I walked out of GameStop and said, I'm walking out with what I initially paid for my PS3 Slim. How am I feeling about that right now? I'm like, and it's in my purse. I'm walking around with something that costs about the amount of my PS3 in my purse that someone could just shoot me in the side of my head and take. I feel pretty good. But I actually do think, unlike me, trade in your DSi for it. Don't be like me and roll up with $400 in your pocket and say, yep, thank you. Trade it in. Get your values worth of that, because then it will obviously bring down your value price. It will bring down how much you actually put towards it, and you could actually go and grab a game. Granted, hopefully if you guys go and do this, there'll be other games out there, because of all the games they had available, it was either Ocarina of Time or Super Street Fighter 4 that I was going to pick up. And the only reason why I got Zelda was because I didn't play it on...
You didn't do Ocarina?
No. Okay. I did the Mask one.
Majora's Mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And halfway through, I was like, yeah, and I'm done. So I was like, I have to go and re-experience this, because if any of my gamer base realize that how much of a non-gamer I was in the Zelda world, they'll feel really...
Right, so you just like pretty much outed yourself for not finishing Majora's Mask and not playing Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, so I'm going to go and correct that wrong.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah.
But yep, so go trade in your lower grade DS...
Yep.
And then it's completely worth it. If you've never had one, then jump into this one.
See, I mean, I kept my SP, but I got the collector's edition one that looks like an old school Nintendo, which is in that beautiful case right there on my thing, so that I can actually play some of my GBA games, because I still have some of my Game Boy Advance games, which you can't play
right,
in the DSi or the 3DS. So that's the main reason why I keep the SP.
Oh.
But I have no problem whatsoever trading in my DSi. Like, I traded in my Game Boy Advance when I got my DSi.
Oh, and also, by September of this year, if you have your 3DS and you have your Nintendo shop, your eShop, up on your 3DS, you can go and download Zelda the Four Swords.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing that I'm like, all right, well, let me go ahead and do that, because I definitely...
Because, I mean, I thought when it came out, I was like, oh, that's really cute, but I was like, I don't want to pay for it. And now I don't have to, because it's going to be for free!
Alright, so, 3DS, Panda says now,
trade in
up,
and buy it.
But trade in and buy.
Trade in and buy.
Alright, Zeno, you're up. You're on deck. What do you got for the
What
people?
Do you got for us, Zeno?
I got reviews for y'all.
Woohoo! Reviews! Alright, I'm totally listening. Go ahead.
And to rebuttal that last one, I ain't getting rid of my DS because it's the Pimpalicious Zelda edition, so there. Ooh. It's gold!
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's gold, bitches!
Yep. Alright. Alrighty, so... Green Lantern. Which one you want to hear about first? Animated or live action?
Let's talk about the live action.
Because she wants to go and see it.
Here's my thing. Okay, like I said, I love the Lantern Corps, alright?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was one of the more ingenious comic runs, because it wasn't the same person being, I guess...
Chosen?
Yeah. To be great.
You're going
to
poke me.
I am going to poke you with this pen.
Put that pen over.
No, it's my pointing pen. It's what I make points with. I emphasize my statements
with
this pen.
Yeah, and you're going to emphasize it in my eye, and I'm going to go blind.
No.
Keep it away from my face.
All right, anyway. So what I loved about the Lantern Corps is that, you know, multiple people from multiple planets were chosen, that they weren't always the best and the brightest. They weren't always the sunshine and lightning characters. Some of them were darker characters, you know, people that lived in the gray area and weren't, you know, all
the
white
characters.
You know, and so I love that, okay? Mm. I love that it wasn't one person's story of evolution, but over the entire series run, there were multiple lanterns that were chosen. Love it, love it, love it. So when they said they were going to make a movie... My initial reaction was, fuck yes, Green Lantern, okay? Then they said Ryan Reynolds was going to be the Lantern. And I went, hell yeah, Ryan Reynolds. because I think he's Mexi, okay? However, I saw the trailer when they first released it, and I was like, oh, no, Green Lantern. But in the back of my mind, I was like, but you still love this. They can't fuck it up. It can't be bad. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So we're going to see it, and we're going to know that it's going to be okay. Now, I didn't get to actually see it this weekend because some other things came up, and we had bonding time, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But I want to know. I need to know because I need to know. So, Zeno, tell me.
All righty. The verdict is the Green Lantern, the movie, is okay. Congratulations. It meted your requirement for satisfactory performance.
Yay! Yeah.
Now, it's not the best movie in the world for various reasons here and there.
How? Damn.
Yeah, but
Schindler's List.
Yeah, it didn't beat Schindler's List, but they covered the. This is basically they have three different things. It's the origin story.
Uh huh.
It's the introduction of the GL Corps as an entity and unit, so you get to learn a bit about them as well.
Okay.
And it's the fight against Parallax.
Okay.
Put into one. So, the pacing of the film, at least to me, seemed a bit fast. Because they were covering those three main elements right. of the story. But it was done tastefully, so it doesn't feel like any one point really lost out that much.
Okay.
Right. Also, they did a bit of retconning here and there to introduce Parallax himself.
Okay.
Because I think vanilla Parallax is too far gone for the normal person. It's just too much. They won't get it. Like when you start bringing in the strengths of the energies of light... and start getting deep into that, the average person goes, what is this crap? I came here to watch a superhero.
Yeah, they'll tune out.
Yeah, they'll tune out. So the way they went about it is fine, and it works very well.
Okay.
So you have Hal Jordan, test pilot, flying for Ferris Air, who is a government contractor,
right.
trying to secure a contract. But, of course, never mind that the two pilots that are assisting with the company's test are flying against the company's assets. It's like, isn't he just going to flub the test so that way the drones win? It's like, no, this guy's enough of an asshole to where he's going to try to win no matter what. You know, so him and his somewhat, I think they used to be in an item at this point.
Okay.
In here, at least they know of each other. Ms. Ferris, I'm missing her first name in my notes here for some reason. Carol Ferris, I think it is. Yeah. She's the wingman. So they're both going up together. She's a very capable pilot. They end up winning the test and everything else. So you see the background of him being a test pilot, this, that, the other thing.
Right.
Meanwhile, Abin Sur, who is the Green Lantern of Sector 2814, right here home on Earth and the surrounding universe, gets taken out by an entity he was able to put down before, which is Parallax. And he sends out an emergency call saying that it was Parallax. And before he dies, he tells his ring to find a new wielder and after he crashes on Earth. So sooner or later, the ring shows up in front of Hal Jordan, or at least calls Hal Jordan back to where Abin Sur is at. And Abin Sur tells him to say the oath, touch the ring, right before he passes away. Right. So, and it's done very lightheartedly, but it's not too strong. It's not our standard Van Wilder stuff. He toned it down.
Okay.
Which I'm glad to see. I mean, he has his moments here, but Hal Jordan isn't a complete stick in the mud.
Okay.
So it's all right for him to interject here and there and do some of it. But it's very low-key, which is good.
Yeah, because there was a lot of concern that it would be, you know, Van Wilder, but, you know, in
the
land space.
In the GL.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There is a Van Wilder in the Green Lanterns, which is a lot of what the comic scene was saying. It's like he's playing the wrong Lantern. You shouldn't be playing Hal Jordan. You should be playing now I'm blanking on that name. Kyle Rayner, who is very wisecracky and all this other stuff. And in fact, was supposed to be chosen over Hal, but he was unavailable. The ring couldn't find him.
Okay.
That's some comic background for you. Uh-huh. Anyway, so he's chanced the oath. He gets taken off to Oa, and he meets the rest of the GL Corps, including his orientation Lantern Tomar Ray, his drill sergeant Kilowog, and pretty much the commanding officer of the Lanterns themselves, Sinestro.
Mm-hmm.
And me being a soldier, I actually liked the way they portrayed it, because the way the characters were written, you definitely get a feeling of chain of command.
Okay.
But there, I mean, the way Kilowog comes off and was written is exactly the way I would expect a drill sergeant to behave. You know, like, no bullshit at all. Gets straight to the point. Goes as hard as he can to put a point through that, look, you're joining the strongest force of, let's say, for lack of a better term, law in existence for normal people. So be ready for anything, because they're not going to pull any punches. So that was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, the Corps really fought some of the most heavy-duty battles when you think about it, when you think of what their power really is. Like, the Corps, every time that they had a crisis, it was because it was a just ridiculously powerful entity that it takes the entire freaking Corps to get together as a collective to take out. And sometimes, you know, even with that, having to get, you know, support from the other heroes from other worlds as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the being chosen is indeed an honor amongst all. Like, it's not just that you're the force of good in the area. It's a very, very large area. There's only 3,600 Lanterns total.
Right.
In all of existence. 3,600 people cover that, at least in this realm, so to speak. So, you know, to be chosen is quite an honor, and he struggles with being chosen because he knows he's dealing with fear. And the whole driving force behind the Lantern's ring is force of will to overcome everything.
So he has to go and learn to overcome his fear and fear of all thing, of anything.
Yeah, because when Sinestro makes his appearance, it's like he can sense it in his behavior. And if you are weak at all in your will, your ring is not going to be performing up to par. So he almost drops, you know, wants to do away with being the Green Lantern when he finally shows back on Earth. And, you know, Carol talks it over, and then there's a threat that forces him to take
action. To step up, you know. To grow a pair.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he gets the critical choice, you know, and he decides to start using the ring. And then, on the side, we also have the backstory of Hector Hammond. He's the other protagonist slash flunky in this.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who gets chosen to investigate Abin Sur. And while he's doing that, a part of the source that killed Abin Sur, Parallax, possesses him.
Dig it.
Yeah, so it starts messing with his body. His head swells to an incredible size, and he starts getting telekinetic and telepathic powers. You know, and he's somewhat of a, I mean, he's a geek just like us, but he's got some.
He's a homunculi.
He's got some behavior issues too. I mean, his dad's always pigeonholing him and this, that, the other thing. So he's got some demons he has to deal with. And on top of that, you have the force of fear influencing all of his decisions. So, yeah, he's going slightly and slightly more mad. We also see a cameo by, I'm blanking on her name now too, with the character that was played by... Why is it that every time I want to think... Kecker, that was played by Angela Bassett. Ms. Walker.
Uh-huh.
Amanda Waller, who's a staple in DC amongst many comics stuff, because she runs government projects. Anyway, although her stuff is more of a cameo than anything else, but it was good to see the character. I'm wondering what they're going to do with her when Amanda swells up to be around 300 pounds, but whatever.
Hey, look, they did a digital suit for Ryan Reynolds, so, I mean, they could do a digital fat suit for Angela Bassett.
Oh, yeah, but I'm praying they don't, but, you know, if push comes to shove and they got to do it, they got to do it, but, you know. I know,
it's huge.
Yeah.
The Black you've seen her in the Batman animated series, the black chick, the big one that's always doing, always, you yes. know, the bitchy one. Yeah, that's Amanda Waller. There's
The bitchy one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yes, with the short haircut.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angela Bassett's not going to get fat.
No.
No. Yeah, so.
I got to ask you. I got to ask you because it's burning a hole in my brain.
Go for it.
The digital suit.
Mm-hmm. I have a trained eye, so I'm a little bit more discerning than the average person, but I didn't think it was that bad at all. It was done very tastefully. Yeah. Everybody was one. Oh, there's no white in it. The color is a weak argument for this.
I don't care about the color. Here's my thing. The issue that I have with the digital suit, just from the trailers that I've seen, makes Ryan Reynolds' body impossible to have. Like, his waist was way too small.
Well, maybe there's some squeezing involved, but I mean,
a lot of squeezing.
Yeah, maybe there's a slight girdle built into it, but
that would be some
elastic spanks.
But on Ryan Reynolds' side, he's maintained the same figure that he had from Blade. Even I think he's actually in better shape, so he actually looks pretty damn close to what the suit looks like. So if there was anything different, it's not by much. That guy's been in the gym for like forever since.
Oh, then. I know he's in peak physical position.
Position?
Did I say position?
Freudian slip.
It's condition. I meant to say condition.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you did.
That was a Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Naughty. No, seriously. Like, I know the dude's straight up in the gym like 6 out of 7 days a week. But I'm saying, as far as like a human being, when you look at the trailer and you look at how tapered his waist is to his upper body, like a human.
It has been edited since the original trailer.
Okay.
So it has been modified since people said, what the hell?
Yeah, because I looked at it, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's what?
And everybody's suit is edited, too. I mean, when you do the shots of the lanterns, I mean, there's a mecha lantern that's in the background. There's a small one that looks like a wasp from one of the other sectors. He's in there. They're all modified accordingly, which is actually kind of cool. Yeah, every lantern has the suit is a physical embodiment of the uniform, so it changes according to the user. So everybody said Sinestro's look a little bit like Spider-Man because it has like a webbing type appearance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but yeah, so the effects were not lacking at all. And of course, Parallax himself was edited a bit from his actual stuff, just because it's too cosmic. But what they did, they basically unified two villains, Parallax himself and Krona, who is the Fallen Guardian that they mentioned in the story. He's a bit different from what he shows up, but basically they're going for the same basic goal. They definitely want to get rid of the Lantern Corps. So, you know, not a big loss there. And it keeps it grounded because, you know, you can actually see the Guardian's head in the middle of all of that Parallax stuff. So they did a good, decent job with that. Also, to highlight, this movie's first real superhero fight, like, you know, villain against villain, hero, is what was missing in half all of our Superman movies. That is what a fight between superheroes was supposed to look like. I mean, at first it's Dr. Hammond versus Green Lantern. And Hammond's quite capable himself. I mean, he's using telekinesis and this, that, and the other thing to fight each other. And they both fight to exhaustion. But the way they went about it the suspension of disbelief was there. Completely, nothing looked out of place.
That's good. That's
yeah.
Good.
So that was very well done. So
I guess my final question then is, being that it is satisfactory, did it, obviously, I know it's a silly question I'm going to ask, does it lend itself well to become a franchise?
Yes, actually, because if you know the background of the Green Lantern, not just the core itself, but the basic story, you know that Carol Ferris eventually becomes his Star Sapphire, which is a purple ring. Then using the, I think it's not the power of love, but I think it's not compassion. I'm getting my colors messed up. Too much Lantern Rangers. Anyway, she becomes an antagonist for a while, using a different colored ring. Like Sinestro eventually gets the yellow ring of fear. There's his love, but it's like the all different sorts of it. So they're vengeful and try to get revenge and this, that, and the other thing, because it's matters of the heart type stuff that they prey upon. So there's room for Star Sapphire to show up in another one. There's room for more interconnectivity with the Lantern Corps because of what they did with Green Lantern Emerald Knights. It's going to be more in the forefront than what it used to be for the people who don't read comics.
Well, talk a little bit about Emerald Knights, because I know that that's also something you've been messing around with as well.
Mm-hmm. Green Lantern Emerald Knights is an animated feature written by the guys at DC. It's not a direct sequel from the film before this first flight. It uses the same character designs and stuff like that. But this basically is telling the story of a bit of the history of the Lantern Corps through a newbie that just got picked. Her name is Arisa Rabb.
Okay.
And, in the Lantern story, she ends up being with Hal Jordan in the far future, whatever. But this is, she just got her ring. She's been there for like 2 days.
Okay.
It's like she just spoke the oath. And all of a sudden, Krona, who is the actual Fallen Guardian, who is banished into an antimatter dimension, is sending a antimatter race back into the normal universe, and it kills off one of the Lanterns. So they are calling everybody together to go deal with the threat. And this is like the spin-up for his attack. And while the Lanterns are guarding, waiting for it to come through, they're chatting about things and introducing Arisa to some of the history, because she hasn't really gotten a chance to get through it at all.
Right.
So while they're waiting to go recharge their batteries before, because they're evacuating Oa because of the threat, because he promised he was going to destroy Oa, the Lantern's home planet and home base of operations, they're getting everybody out. They're going to scramble. They say, everybody charge your rings before you leave, because we're going to move the battery here pretty soon. So while they're in line, they talk about the history of the first Lantern, because they had this large meeting. She saw every historical noteworthy Lantern that's alive in the same spot. So she's all completely awestruck.
Okay.
So they describe exactly what it is they do by telling the first Lantern, Avra, which isn't canon, but it might be retconned. And it's an amazing story. Basically, they rewrote it so that way not all the rings were generated immediately. They originally just made four. And they went through the universe to pick the four strongest warriors to bear the rings.
Okay.
They picked three warriors and a scribe working for the Guardians named Avra. So he's just a bookkeeper. But one of the rings picked him after it went through the whole crowd. And there's a threat of this one hostile race that's blowing up planets left and right. So the Guardians are set to dispatch the Lanterns on their first actual mission to go take care of things. And they're at first they're just using the rings like guns. So they're just blasting the ships to pieces as well as they can. They're not really making a lot of progress. And one of the Lanterns gets overwhelmed and killed. So the two remaining, veterans and Avra start hiding out. It's like, man, we can't do it, man. It's like, this is just too overwhelming. We'll all be dead before we're finished. Let's just retreat and think of something else. But Avra, who's been working with the Guardians for who knows how long, has complete faith in their decisions. And they said, with your will, the rings can do whatever you need them to do. So he decided, if you guys are going to leave, go ahead and leave. I'm going to stay and fight and believe in what we're going to do here. So he takes off by himself. And he is the guy who manages to figure out exactly how the rings work and is the first guy to make a construct. So he makes this gigantic sword that he's just cleaving ships in half with. And once he figures that out, all the Lanterns figure out how to do it too. So he's dubbed as being the first Lantern because he was the first one to figure out exactly how the rings work and how to use them. And then
nerds inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, nerds lead the way. Anyway, so with that being done, they show that Hal's ring is actually Avra's. It went through like five or six Lanterns in history. It ended up being going, it went to Abin-Sur and then into Hal Jordan's hands. So that's actually the first Lantern's ring too, which I thought was kind of cool. And he's a tiny little thing too. It's like you get put like Ryan Reynolds and Michael Clark Duncan and what's her name from a, well, any standard MMA chick actually looks like she could throw a punch. And then you take Ferris Bueller when he was back in college. And that's how small Avra was compared to everybody else. But he ends up being the basically he was the first grandmaster as far as ring usage. So he starts teaching this shows him teaching other Lanterns and everything else. And then they go into, they talk about Arisa. After that story is completed, they talk about Arisa. He's still needing to go to boot camp before this event happens. But it's like, don't worry about Kilowog. He's nothing compared to the drill sergeant before him, Deegan. And then they start talking about the drill sergeant's story and how Kilowog came up through drill sergeant and how he ended up being the drill, basically taking up the air of being the sergeant of the Lantern Corps, which is actually pretty cool too, because he was kind of a mama's boy before that. So seeing Kilowog like a mama's boy is just odd.
But, the animated piece, is it a motion comic type thing or is it like a full Warner Brothers animation like Batman?
This is Warner Premieres, the guys that are behind this one. This is the same animation they use in the animated series.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. So it's still animated. But Kilowog's story is great, covers the point well. It's like you can see the transformation the way they wrote it, and that story really sat with me because I went through something like that. So that was kind of cool. And then while they're guarding, they talk about who's this, or she's asking who that was. That's over in the corner, hovering in like a meditative state. And then it's the Lantern Lyra, and she was supposed to be one of the best fighters in the Lantern Corps. They talk about her first solo mission was to take out her pops and her family because her home planet went hostile.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, and they went deep into that story, and that one is huge. I love that one. And then after that, I don't want to even touch that story because it's so poignant the way they did it that you just have to see it for yourself. And then the final story, actually there's two stories after this. They talked about one Lantern who's not present. While every other Lantern has been called in to guard this one star for the attack, there's one that's not there. His name's Mogo. And they talk about why he doesn't socialize with anybody. Okay. And they go to his story with Bolfuga the Unrelenting was looking for the best warrior to test himself with. You know, he'd literally like chop limbs off, this, that, and the other thing to prove he was, the baddest in the world. And this one villain talks about, Mogo is the strongest in this area, but don't even bother because he'll cleanse you like you wouldn't believe,
Okay.
Nothing but perfects, that type of thing.
I feel like I should change my name now to Ninja Sister the Unrelenting because that's just a great
You're not
name.
Unrelenting.
I am. I am without relent.
Yeah, it's like, this guy was seriously unrelenting. He landed on the planet he's supposed to be on. He searched for him everywhere. He set probes across the entire planetary surface, hunting for him, calling him out, detonating bombs all over the planetary surface, trying to get him to fight him. And it turns out Mogo's the planet himself. So when Mogo decides to get rid of him, he runs for the hills like you wouldn't believe. He's not so unrelenting anymore.
Wait, he's the planet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is one Lantern that is a living planet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they drew him a bit weird for the animation, but the way he's drawn, his foliage makes the Lantern symbol.
Cool.
On the planet itself. Yeah. So a certain section of all the trees grew into the Lantern symbol. I thought that was kind of cool. And he actually does show up during the battle. When he shows up, it's like, man, I'm glad this guy's a Lantern too, because we wouldn't have made it that without Mogo. So, and then they go into also the friendship between Abensur and Sinestro, because they show one of Abensur's last missions before he died. Mm-hmm. And there's the dual play between Abensur and Sinestro that's really, really good. So they go into Abensur's story and what their relationship was like during a mission. And then Chrono actually attacks, and you see the Lanterns doing their stuff and the contribution that Arisa makes despite not even going through training yet. And she manages to make a name for herself. So
that's cool.
I know I talked a lot about the first story, but the first story was really the one that had the most weight with me. I actually really liked that one. And that the movie, if not a rental, is definitely worth a purchase for a Green Lantern fan.
Cool.
If nothing else, just for the telling of the stories and the way they did it. So I'd almost encourage you to watch Emerald Knights first before you see the movie.
Well, especially if you aren't very familiar with the core to begin with,
right,
and the comic series,
good way
like that.
To digest it before jumping into it.
Yeah, I would say for Panda, it would definitely
be. Yeah, I would want to watch that before going to see, because I'm like, I have no idea what's going on right now.
Is that your nerd voice?
That's my, I really should
your
know
towel-y?
This, but I don't voice.
Don't
That's
forget
your best
to towel-y. Bring a towel.
Have no idea
right now. I fucking love toweling. So my stuff is pretty quick. I appreciate you sharing that with me because I've kind of been going back and forth between, Green Lantern and X-Men First Class,
which she needs to go and see.
Yeah, I've been told now twice that I really need to do it.
Slacker!
Yeah, it's not about slacker. It's about finding the effing time, dude. My job is crazy. The day job is like a nutsoid. But I think it's actually going to end up being First Class first. And then for me, it's going to be Green Lantern, and then I'll end up buying it as well. I kind of kicked myself for not seeing Green Hornet in the theaters because I thought that Seth Rogen did a really good job with Green Hornet. I actually enjoyed it, but I also enjoyed the TV series, like, immensely anyway.
And I just enjoy, you know, Seth Rogen.
I know, you just enjoy Seth Rogen. And you know what? I enjoy Seth Rogen, too. I'm not even going to lie. I love his little stoner ass. But my stuff is pretty quick. Or at least I'm going to make it pretty quick. So first up is the L.A. Noire DLC pack that actually went out called Nicholson Electroplating. It sets you back about $4 as far as your PSN price and the equivalent 320 Microsoft points if you're on the Xbox 360. But basically, there's this big-ass explosion.
Explosions!
And there's, like, fucking destruction. And Phelps and Biggs get on the scene. And basically, the case has Phelps and Biggs trying to find whatever clues they can in the rumble that's left after this explosion.
Kinda. Oh, God, this sounds like an arson case.
Yeah, it kind of is. Oh, but there are new witnesses that are introduced, and then some new locations, including the hangar at Howard Hughes' place.
Okay.
So evidently this Bruce Gruce is there, so I don't know, like, how much detail you'll actually get to see it.
We'll find out.
But we'll find out, and I totally need to actually freaking borrow this game from you now and start playing it, because it's killing me inside. Arson. But yeah, it's pretty much another arson case, and I know that you're having difficulty with that right now.
Yeah, arson sucks!
So I'm looking forward to the DLC. I'm looking forward to actually getting into the game, because everybody I know who's playing it is like, I love this stuff, I've gotta have it!
Now you gotta be careful. Because when everyone was on the hype train, oh my god, L.A. Noire was a fresh take to anything Rockstar's done in terms of their sandbox environments. But after a certain point, unless you really like the investigating tip, you might find it to be really repetitive and really boring, but the kind of boring that you could play for an hour, come back to it next day, and only do hour segments. And that's where I feel like
You know that that's my kind of game.
Yeah. So, I mean, this might be something definitely that you'll... But, I mean, I know I'm waning, because I'm like, ugh, arson, burnt building, nothing here. Where am I finding my evidence? You know, and then the fucking interrogation. It's like, so the house burnt down. Yes. All right, well, he's looking me dead in the face. I think he's telling me the truth. What? What? Restart. So, okay, doubt that. All right. And there was no one in the house. I didn't see anybody. All right, looking all over the place. Oh, you're lying. I have no evidence to support that. Oh, God. After a while, there will be a couple of kisses. You're like, and you'll have to go take a break.
Maybe come back to more. You know, have something, you know, good for your soul.
Pump some endorphins in you.
Right. Valve actually announced last week that Team Fortress 2 is now completely free to play. So that's my FTP news. So they did a whole thing with Meet the Medic, and there's a great video on their website, which I...
Epic video.
Look, you gotta love Valve style. You know, I love their style. I mean, not to mention, the games that they make, I really enjoy. Like, I am not a Team Fortress 2 kind of girl. Like, if you were to just look at the games that I play. But I love Team Fortress 2. It pokes enough fun at itself, but it's still solid. But I freaking enjoy it. And Portal is my shit. Okay? It's just my shit. It's infuriating. And I want to throw puppies against the wall when I can't get out of a puzzle. Because I feel like I should be smarter. And I should just have this. And I don't. But damn it, I'm gonna work it out. It's my shit. I love it. Ugh! Valve, you make me happy. And so, like, for reals... I'm looking forward to it. So the fact that it's free to play, like, it almost makes me want to have a Steam account, because I don't have Steam.
I have one.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
Mom's computer. Big screen, you can use it.
So I feel like I almost want to get a Steam account. I don't do a lot of gaming on my computer, but because I am mostly console. But I love that, you know. TF2 is now free to play, because that means that more people who are, you know, thinking about it now have an entire experience that I think is a really solid one. to just, you know, go buck wild on the system on and not have to worry about, okay, now how am I going to work this into my monthly budget? Because that's going to be like $8 a month or whatever. But it's just like straight up just enjoy it and be free. And I think that's really cool. And it's really interesting to me to see more titles going FTP after, you know, they get their best-selling accolades for a year, or, you know, I kind of see FTP as the next escalation after it becomes a platinum hit or a bestseller. You know, you do the bestseller or the platinum hit run for 3 months, and then after that, you do your FTP run, because really things don't become like a platinum hit or a bestseller until a year after. Until most
people own it anyway.
Exactly. So I kind of see that as the penultimate. Okay, so not only was this thing super awesome, and we know that we've pretty much made all the money that we're going to make on it, but we really believe in this product so much, and we think that people should actually like get a hold of it so much, we're just going to make it free for you guys to play it. So those who are just now either coming of age to jump on board with it because the game is rated a certain way, or, you know, missed it when it first came out and you didn't get on the hype train, now's your chance to actually try it risk-free. That's kind of how I see
FTP. By risk-free, you mean no money down.
Exactly. You know, so I don't have to worry about, okay, I bought it, I ponied up the $60, $50, or whatever, absolutely hate it, and now I gotta trade it in to try and get something that maybe I like. You know, with free-to-play, it's just literally, you know, I like it, great. If I don't, well, you know what, it didn't cost me anything except time. And I think that, especially in this economy, that's a really important thing to have. I mean, my time is you know, worth some stuff, because I don't have a lot of free time now. So I really have to manage it.
It's really worth it for me, because I don't even have time
to. Like, seriously, I've got a poop scheduled in, like, 15 minutes.
Whoa, I can't believe you totally just...
I did. I said that. I have a poop scheduled in, like, 15 minutes. So do we have to, like, use this entire...
I don't think you wanted to envision that.
Well, I'm, you know, exaggerating. Obviously, I don't schedule my BMs. I mean, but there are people that do, because they have OCD.
Okay, and I think we're done now. That's
a different podcast. So anyway, FTP, Team Fortress 2, it's on Steam, steam.com. It's from Valve. Valve's, you know, definitely... They said it at E3, and evidently they're really ready to back it up, that they're really putting a lot of focus on FTP throughout the summer. I think, one, to get more people on Steam, but obviously that they're not the only partners that are moving to FTP. You know, you've got the Ghost Recon Online, right, which is going to be FTP, which I think is great, and I think will introduce a lot of people to the Ghost Recon genre. So I think it's a great vehicle for introducing new people to your franchise. And really evangelizing them in a way that, you know, really is not cost prohibitive. So I love seeing FTP. I want to see more of it. But Team Fortress 2, it drops. It's basically a piece to help them celebrate the update for TF2, the Uber update, as they're calling it. So be on the lookout. Check out Steam. It's available now. FTP, if you have an account. I don't even know why you're not playing it by now, because it's awesome. Personally for me, out of the Orange Box collection for Half-Life, what I played most was Portal and Team Fortress 2. I really didn't actually finish Half-Life 2. I just played TF2 and Portal. And I only did Portal twice.
Only?
Yeah, only twice. Because my first run through took me forever. And the second run through, I was like, okay, now that I know where I'm supposed to go, this should be pretty much faster. I just want to make sure I understood. And I got this to prove to myself that I was smart enough. So,
as of September 15, 2011... nobody will be able to buy into Star Wars Galaxies anymore. Come December 15th, 2011, it will be shut down.
Yeah.
So if any of you guys wanted to get into, or at least try it, you have to till September 15th, 2011 to activate a subscription. After that, there will be no more purchases available. Any trading card or virtual trading card games associated with the game will also be taken offline. They were going to have a galaxy ending event near December 15th, but if after September 15th you have not started an account, you will be ineligible.
All right, you heard it here first. Zeno said it, so you know it's true. So
get your Jedi on.
Yep, last chance to get the Jedi on.
Yep.
And I'm finished.
All right. That's the news that I have for this week. So, like I was saying, make sure that you check out all the stuff that we write on our respective sites to keep in the know. And if you want to know how to do that, then visit electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bunch it a long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Subscribe and leave a review, please and thank you.
It's really easy to do. Just log into the iTunes Music Store, search for Electric Sisterhood. Bam, we pop up. And right there is that shiny, beautiful little silver subscribe button. You hit that, and what that gets you is our episodes the moment that we put them out on the internet. Webs delivered to you fresh, hot piping, full of awesome sauce with a sprinkling, a smattering, if you will, of cool the moment that we put them out on the web. You can also find us in the Zune marketplace because we know that not everyone is on the iTunes bandwagon. Same thing applies. Simply search for Electric Sisterhood and subscribe to our podcast. And if you don't want to do that, which I don't know why you wouldn't want to because, you know, we're pretty freaking awesome, you can
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're going to do that, you should be stopping at all the other people who fly underneath our flag.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. Our podcast episodes go out on Monday, but on Tuesday, and this Tuesday especially, because the Boston Bastard Brigade, hosted by King Baby Duck and his bunch of bastard buddies, is celebrating their 100th episode. So if you haven't listened to the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast ever before in life, I recommend that you absolutely do it this week. Join them. Enjoy them. 100th episode. We're so proud of those dudes.
The big 100.
I remember when we had our 100.
You do? Because I don't.
Yeah, it was a debacle. Remember, we were still trying to do the Skype cast. We couldn't get a lot of people in the room. And it was like, I could be in there. And I couldn't be in there. And I, you know, tried to record it. And it was off. It was just a mess. But I remember that. And it was fun times. Theirs is not going to be a debacle. It's just going to be debauchery. So make sure that you check out the Boston Bastard Game, where they cover things like video games and pop culture, movies, music, indie bands, MMA, fucking anything that's worth even knowing about, they cover. So they're kind of like the opposite of us, where we're very focused. They just do everything. And they have a ball doing it. And then on Wednesday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, hosted by Deuces Wild. So you can check all that stuff out. Obviously, we want to interact with you guys. You can mail us, like Pandalicious just said, but you should also hit us up on our Facebook page. It's the fastest way to get a hold of all of us and ask a question. And it's just facebook.com/landofesh. We are, of course, on the Twitters, and we Twitters regularly. You can find everyone who makes up the Land of Esh on Twitter by simply going to twitter.com/ninjasista and checking out my list for the Land of Esh. Everyone who's anyone in the Land of Esh is there, including people that just work on the magazine, which is on sale, and actually you can purchase it now because I have updated the site because I was supposed to do that last week, but you know, some stuff happened which kept me from doing
that. Celebrate Panda's birthday by buying the July issue.
Yeah, you could do what she said because we like to sell the magazines, and so we've got stuff in there from Zeno, myself, from Panda, from King Baby Duck, Deuces Wild. We've got pieces on video games, we've got pieces on indie bands, we got pieces on fan fiction, we got pieces on anime, we got pretty much Nerd Central going on in the magazine right now. So make sure that you hit that up, www.landofesh.com. Get yourself a copy and or a subscription. I mean, that would be the best birthday gift if you picked up a subscription. But that's all our stuff for this week. I got nothing else. Zeno, what shit you digging this week? One thing, get it. Boom.
Oh, I got this Electribe EMX groove box that I've been working on to do some music production that's pretty freaking awesome.
Ooh, yeah, like creative with his shizzles.
Well, I gotta try here and there, you know. I just can't do it on the PC all the time, so. Yeah. But yeah, this thing is very intuitive, so yeah, it's awesome. Go put it up on YouTube and just type in Electribe and you'll see how popular that community is.
Damn. All right, Panda, your shit you're digging this week. What is it? Go.
RPG Grinders.
Aw, you're so sweet.
Because they talk about tracker. RPGs and they make me think about grinders, which are subs.
Okay.
No, they're a great bunch of guys, and I like what they do every Friday.
Yeah, which is why I was about to say, that's like kind of a backhanded compliment there.
But I like those
Pod guys. Crasher.
Oh, it's only just begun.
I know. You're going to be all
the panda the plague is upon us. But it's a happy plague with smiles.
Okay, well, that's good.
And what because are you digging?
This week, I actually have to go with Giant Pixie 6.
I was about to say my birthday. You should plug my birthday. and dig my birthday because it's happening next week.
So why does the shit I have to dig have to be about
because
you?
Because I am awesome and everyone should dig me.
I'm just going to let you ruminate with that. I'm going to go and stick with the shit that I was actually digging, which is the 3-foot-tall pixie sticks, because I had one this week.
Pixie sticks are not forever, but I am here.
You're not forever either.
I'm here longer than they are.
You know what?
As far as we know.
Ready? Stop usurping my shit that I dig. 3-foot-tall pixie sticks, cherry flavor, that's awesome. I'm Pandalicious.
No, you're not. I'm Pandalicious.
Wow!
Fuck you!
See? Now you've just completely, like, blown up my spot. And I'm only thinking about you now. See?
Alright, well, then in that case, I'm Ninja Sister.
He's still Xenocore. I'm pretty sure.
We'll be back next week.
I think.
You some kooky ladies, man.
I know. It's just. Dude.
What? Wow, dude. Even I have never forgotten.
No, then they go, why the fuck am I gonna do shit about Pandalicious? And it just popped out of my mouth.
And, oh my god, and our title, you guys are like, and I'm Pandalicious. I'm like, no, I'm Pandalicious.
Yeah, that's pretty much the title.